From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the anchorman so good they wouldn't let me retire. They put me out to stud.
Oh, my God.
Jill Curtis. And here is your host at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky, Peter Sagal.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. It's great to be making our debut in Louisville. Later on, we'll be talking to Edward Lee, the most famous chef in Kentucky, even though he's a Korean guy from Brooklyn. But we're so pleased to be here. Late summer is the best time to be in Kentucky. The grass is an emerald blue. There's a certain warmth in the air. In fact, it's so romantic. Bill and I have decided to make it official and get married. It's simple. It's going to be simple. We don't want to make a big deal of it. After the show, we're going to skip down to a local county courthouse. Can't imagine there will be any problems whatsoever.
Reception at the county jail.
Yeah, absolutely. But first, we have some business to do. Give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant this week. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Preston from Carlsbad, California.
Hey, Preston from Carlsbad. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Pretty good. What do you do in beautiful Carlsbad? That's near San Diego, right?
Yeah, just about 20 miles north. I'm a teacher.
Oh, excellent. Are you one of those native-born... what do you teach?
I teach ancient world history.
No kidding, really? Wow. Well, who do you teach that to?
Ninth graders.
So basically, you're talking about the 80s, then. Preston, welcome to our show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher. It's Mr. Adam Felber.
Hey, Preston.
Thank you. Next, it's the woman doling out the advice in the syndicated advice column, Ask Amy. That would be Amy Dickinson.
Hey, Preston.
Finally, it's an author whose collection of essays for NPR. It's called As Far As You Can Go Without a Passport. That book celebrates its 30th year in print. The author is here, Tom Beaudet.
Hello, Preston.
Preston, you're going to start us off with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize. Scorekeeper Emeritus Carl Castle's voice on your home voicemail. Are you ready to go?
Let's do this.
Here is your first quote. It is from the President of these United States.
Uh-oh. What's happening there? Something got on my shoes.
That was President Obama reacting when a salmon spawned all over him during his trip where this week?
To Alaska.
Yes, indeed. Alaska. The incident with the dying salmon trying to mate with him raises all sorts of new questions. The president is not, as it turns out, secretly a Muslim. He's secretly a fish. What's really interesting about this is we got to see this. This is how you know that the president simply doesn't care anymore. He released a sex tape of himself and a salmon. But the really big news from the trip to Alaska happened actually before he went. President Obama officially renamed Mount McKinley back to Denali. All right. Clearly you guys are fans of that. People in Ohio were upset.
Because they're deeply in Denali. About this.
Yeah. Right. Do you know who, this is funny, do you know who was not upset about this? The President McKinley Presidential Library. There is one, and their attitude was, we love it. Just people are talking about President McKinley. We're happy. It's the saddest presidential library. They hand out a fact sheet. 10 things you didn't know about President McKinley. Number one, there was a President McKinley.
They should just go ahead and rename him President Denali.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Seriously.
Oh, he's going nuts. He doesn't care. He's renaming everything. Next month is now Barack-tober. And according to presidential decree, John Boehner's last name is now Boner.
Oh!
For your next score, Preston, it is Wisconsin governor and Republican presidential candidate Scott Walker.
I never talked about a wall to the north.
Now, Mr. Walker was walking back a day later his suggestion that it was a legitimate idea to build a wall where?
Canada, I guess.
Yes, between the U.S. and Canada. What's going on, of course, is that the GOP candidates are all trying to out-Trump Trump. So Trump says, let's build a wall between us and Mexico. So Walker says, I'll double down. Also a wall between the United States and Canada. Yeah, to keep the Canadians out. This is ridiculous.
Well, stop.
You want to keep Canadians out, just say to the Canadians, oh, I'm sorry, we're closed.
Oh, okay, we'll come back later then.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
When's good for you?
Oh, yeah. Try this next month.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Next month is good. Sure.
But this whole notion is this wave of illegal immigration from Canada. If the people who smuggle immigrants in from Mexico are coyotes, will the Canadian counterparts be called moose?
No, they're Volvos with Thule boxes on the roof. I see them coming through Vermont.
Well, they call the tunnels and smuggling routes the Poutine Highway.
Now, every Republican candidate says that things are terrible here.
Yes.
And yet they want to seal both borders so we can marinate in our own terrible juices.
Right.
I still get it. It's an immigration problem that could be solved with a PA announcement.
Would all Canadians please leave? Okay.
Okay.
Wow, that was a short stay. All right.
Okay, sure thing.
All right.
All right, Preston, here is your last quote.
My balls are perfect.
That was someone talking about his balls earlier this year. This week, a federal judge in New York gave us another chance to use that quote when he relieved that man from the threat of punishment. What man are we talking about?
Tom Brady.
Yes, indeed. As Martin Luther King might have said, the arc of history is long, but it bends toward Tom Brady's balls. A federal judge threw out Tom Brady's 4-game suspensions imposed by the NFL. Because of Deflategate, Brady will now be able to start for the New England Patriots in their season opener. And if he has any sense of humor, he will take the field carrying a flat, football-shaped piece of leather. For his part, Brady says he's happy to be exonerated and relieved from this punishment and will spend the rest of his life searching for the real deflators.
I'm so glad it's over. I mean, I know there's an appeal coming, but it feels like it's getting close to over, but I have so many friends from Boston, and they've all disappeared so far through their, 9/11 conspiracy theorist looking glass on this one, that if I don't ever have to have a conversation about how their balls change from warm weather to cold weather, I'll be a real happy man.
That's there. A lot of conversation about...
You don't understand. There was a third pump on the roof.
No,
there wasn't. Shut up.
Bill, how did Preston do in our quiz?
He's a teacher. That's why he got a perfect score.
Well done. Thank you, Preston. Thanks for the work that you do. We want to remind everybody to join us most weeks back home at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and more information, just roll over to WBEZ.org. You can find a link at our website as well. That's waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel time for you, of course, to answer some questions about this week's news. Adam, in an effort to curb the summer heat, officials in charge at the Auschwitz Memorial installed outdoor what at the front gates?
Anyone who's ever listened to this show knows the answer should not be, but absolutely has to be, shower.
No!
Yes. That's what they did. It seemed you have to be sympathetic to the people who run them a museum and memorial at the site of Auschwitz. It's very hot. People are uncomfortable. You can't modify the buildings to put in air conditioning. So, of course, you want to give visitors there a chance to cool off, sort of an Auschspritz. But they reminded some people, which is another way of saying literally every person, of the gas chambers. The managers have been widely criticized in the media, which is crazy. What person is like, I came to visit Auschwitz, the last thing I wanted was to be reminded of the Holocaust?
But you know, that thinking
you
is
had to
like,
take a perfectly pleasant experience.
Now if you're just this terrible image in my head, how am I supposed to enjoy the water slides here? I have to say, I read this story and I felt so bad for these guys. Because you can imagine that they were trying to be nice. They put out these things, the international outcry showers at Auschwitz. And they were like, no, they're not showers. They're misters. Look, the water comes down and the people's heads, oh my God, we're all fired.
Think about the meeting where they came up with that. Yeah. You know, you got to... like.
That could only have been done by a committee.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what are the options? We could give them ice.
Ice,
suppose. Or maybe we could just sort of mist them.
Mist them with showers.
Yes, mist them.
They would like it.
That would be nice. I don't see anything wrong with it. They're all in favor.
Aye.
And call it Schindler's Mist.
Yes.
Coming up, our panelists want to pump you up. It's our Bluff Listener game called 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. NPR is supported by Target with the Made to Matter handpicked by Target collection. Better for you brands like Cascadian Farm, Stonyfield, Plum Organics, Method, and more are available to explore in-store and at target.com/made to matter.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Tom Beaudet, and Adam Felber. And here again is your host at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky, Peter Sagal.
Thank you so much, Bill. Right now it's time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Brooks Mossu from Lincoln, Massachusetts.
Hey, Brooks, how are you?
I'm great.
I'm glad. I hear your Boston accent, and I admire a Boston accent so much I want to emulate it.
Well, thank you. We're all celebrating Brady's acquittal. Yeah.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this, since you're a Boston guy... do you believe in your heart of hearts, as they say in Boston, that Tom Brady is innocent of tampering with the game balls?
Absolutely innocent.
Really?
100%.
And apparently you have some non-believers. How do you know that, sir?
Well, there's just no extra air about Brady, you know? No hot air, no extra air, no loss of air.
Well, you convinced me, and I think you've convinced the audience. Well done, sir. No. Well, it's nice to have you on the show, Brooks. Right now, you're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Brooks's topic?
Let me see your body talk.
So, we've all had it up to here with these gimmick fitness trends. Your Zumba, your Soul Cycle, your Fed exercise where you just carry other people's packages. This week, though, we read about a hot new workout that'll definitely... get you in shape. Our panelists are going to tell you about that. Guess the real one, you'll win our prize. Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready?
Yes.
First, let's hear from Mr. Tom Beaudet.
Melanie Kahn and Beau Ford have built their yoga studio business over many years of thoughtful instruction and clean floors. But there is one problem they have never been able to crack, getting more men into the studio and onto the mats. We see about 3 guys for every 10 women, and 2 of them just came to meet the women, said Ford. Some guys get talked into it by their wives and girlfriends, show up once, and never come back. Ford and Kahn's breakthrough idea came when one of these guys complained, "Nobody wins at this game. What's the point of it?" Say hello to BOGA, competitive yoga for men who don't do yoga. Not to be confused with BROGA, which is yoga for annoying men who do yoga. Unlike yoga, which is done on sticky mats, BOGA yoga is done on slippery mats that are soaped down before every session. Contestants are required to hold standard yoga poses, such as downward dog and tree, without falling down until the whistle is blown. There are three rounds, with the final round being a last man standing bent over on 1 foot closer. Extra points may be awarded for endurance, sounding most like a buffalo, and deepest plumber's crack. Winners get a BOGA beer mug filled with ibuprofen. Three weeks in and the classes are all full, reported Mrs. Khan. Men are idiots.
Oh. A yoga studio figures out how to get men into class. They're making it competitive yoga. Your next story of a new fitness craze comes from Mr. Adam Felber.
You know the feeling. You've just signed your level 72 Dwarven Hunter off the World of Warcraft. You've got 2 hours before your Dungeons & Dragons group meets for weekly Star Wars trivia night. And you'd like to get some exercise, but those muscly accursed jocks in the gym are like kryptonite, keeping you from attaining your true form. Well, now there's hope. The new gym Nerd Strong in North Hollywood, California is here to make meek geeks sleek. You can take, for instance, the Eye of Sauron workout, wherein you must continually duck the Dark Lord's roving eye and do step-ups with weights to simulate Frodo and Sam's trek with the heavy burden of the ring up the stairs of Cirith Ungol. So, whether you're hoping to finally fit into that Harley Quinn outfit at Comic-Con, or you just want to bring your weight down within shouting distance of your IQ, for those who dare, Nerd Strong awaits.
Nerd Strong, an exercise program specifically designed for nerds. Your last story of a bold way to work out comes from Amy Dickinson.
After watching her class of 2 to 4 year old students play during recess, nursery school teacher Avila Schickel devised, "You're not the boss of me," the nursery school workout. I noticed how incredibly hard young children work when they play. They run, jump, climb, and pull themselves up, and they're incredibly flexible. I wondered if adults could do it, she says. Schickel filmed her students during playtime and came up with full-sized workouts mimicking exactly what the kids do. Athletes moved quickly through a circuit, doing the hand-over-hand monkey bar challenge, climbing up the slide, and pushing a group on a merry-go-round before jumping on themselves. They played chase for 10 minutes on foot, and then for another 10 minutes riding big wheels. In Duck Duck Goose, participants sit down cross-legged and then stand up quickly without using their hands to stabilize and run around in a tight circle. Toddler tug-of-war imitates a toddler on a leash, pulling one way while someone bigger pulls the opposite. Athletes can only hydrate using sippy cups, and then only if they ask very nicely.
All righty. So let's say, Brooks, you need to get in shape, and you're tired of the old ways, you want something new. Well, here are three choices, one of them from Tom Baudet, competitive yoga for men. Another from Adam Felber, Nerd Strong, workouts designed for the geek in you. Or from Amy Dickinson, You're Not the Boss of Me, the nursery school workout where you get to play and sweat like you did when you were too young to actually sweat. Which of these is the real new workout you could actually go do right now?
Wow, they're all very plausible. But I'm thinking as a male that I would go with Tom Baudet.
Really? You're going to choose Tom's school of exercise, competitive yoga for men. Well, we actually spoke to the individual who actually created this new exercise craze.
The Eye of Sauron workout mimics that time when Frodo is to drop to the ground.
That was Andrew Deutsch. He is the owner of the Nerd Strong Gym out in L.A. and the creator of the Eye of Sauron workout that Adam described.
No.
So, yeah, you didn't win our prize. However, you did help Tom win a point and maybe launch a whole new exercise craze. Thank you so much for calling, Brooke.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care, Bruce.
And now the game where we ask people who have done a lot that's important to do a little that's not. It's called Not My Job. So, Chef Edward Lee came from Brooklyn to Louisville, he says, in search of bourbon. We're lucky he did not know that there are liquor stores in New York because he's become one of the most famous chefs in the American South. He's been on Iron Chef and Top Chef. Was the star of season 3 of Mind of a Chef. Edward Lee, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So is that true? You were just following the scent of bourbon?
Well, like most young romantics, I had the Kentucky Derby on my bucket list.
Really?
And I was going through a rough time in New York, and my girlfriend left me, and I thought, well, what better time than now to go check out Kentucky and the Derby? And I got here, and you know, there's bourbon and pretty girls and dresses and people in hats and... The flowers were, you know, out in the sunshine. Well, no one told me that the other 51 weeks out of the year is not like that.
Yeah, I know. Now you have become famous for doing traditional Southern food with a Korean twist. How is that possible?
Koreans and Southerners have a lot in common. I mean, they both have, they're both really loud.
Yeah.
They have hostile neighbors to the north.
They're very hospitable. They tell it like it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're very.
A lot of them are named Lee.
Yes.
Yeah. and when you, I mean, for example, so we were at your restaurant in Milkwood here in Louisville, and it is amazing. And
you know what? Can I just say, Adam sort of indicated before the meal that he would let me taste the chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some. I felt like there was an agreement sort of made.
Sort of a tacit
so
agreement.
So I didn't order the chicken, and I loved my meal as well, but I kept glancing over at Adam, and, you know, it
can
was
we
like,
do this later?
No.
I'll say two things. Number one, I had a cold. I didn't want to get Amy sick. Number two, there are limits to friendship.
That's true. You had this one dish I loved. It was technically a side dish, but it's my favorite. It was collard greens, right?
Yeah.
With kimchi,
yeah.
Which, of course, is the famous...
It was so
good. And here's the thing.
This is what I deal with all the time.
I know.
It was so good.
So you said, here, hey, I'm a Korean guy from Brooklyn, and I'm here to take one of your staple foods, braised collard greens with a little ham, and I'm going to put in kimchi, a Korean pickle, and they did not want to hang you, apparently.
No. Well, that's not true. Some do.
Yeah.
Well, I just heard a few.
We have a small restaurant.
Yeah. That's true.
And we have a security guard at the door. The name is a real funny thing to me, because when I first started doing events around the South, I would travel and set up shop, and, you know, you would do these tasting tables, and they would always have a little placard, right, with your name on it, and it would say, Edward Lee, Louisville, Kentucky.
Right.
You know? So, you know, Lee can be also a Southern name. People would come, and they would look at me, and they would look at the plaque, and they would look at me, and they would look at the plaque, and it would go on, and, you know, and I had to, there was a whole bunch of, like, that's really
so
me.
So what part of Louisville? Where are you from, son?
Or you know, when's the real chef coming?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no, that's me.
You have actually you described yourself, and I'm quoting him, a typical Korean redneck. What in the world does that mean?
Go down to 4th Street. There's a bunch of them.
Really?
You know, well, it's funny. So when I first moved down here, people wanted to introduce me to, like, the finer things in life.
Right.
You know, country clubs and horseback riding and
stuff
like that. And I enjoyed it all, and I love it, and I do a little bit of it. But then I started to meet some rednecks.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we're gonna go frog jigging. You know, we're going to go shoot things.
Yeah.
You know. And
they know how to have fun.
And I was like, this is so much more fun than country clubs.
Yeah.
So I just naturally gravitate towards, you know, killing small animals. But eating them, just not
for sure,
but eating them. There's a lot of frogs in this world got to get rid of them.
Well, Edward Lee, so delighted to talk to you. We've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
It's just like horse racing. If you pretend they're tiny horses...
Since we are in Louisville, capital of thoroughbred horse racing... the sport of kings. We thought we would ask you about dog racing, sport of retired bus drivers. Answer two questions about dog racing correctly. You win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice on their voicemail, calling a race. Bill, who is Chef Edward Lee playing for?
Hannah Crabtree of Bug Tussle, Kentucky.
All right. Are you ready to play the game?
Born ready.
Okay, Edward, here is your first question. Greyhound racing has been around for thousands of years and has been popular all over the world. Arab princes back in the Middle Ages used to love to race their dogs, but how did they get over the Islamic prohibition against consorting with dogs? A, they dressed the dogs in special miniature camel suits. B, they just decided that their dogs were not, in fact, dogs. Or C, they turned their backs on the race course and hired Jews to narrate the race for them.
I feel like answering this question is going to get me in trouble.
Probably. Don't answer.
I'm going to go with the most outrageous answer, and I'm going to say A.
You're going to say A. They just dressed the dogs in miniature camel suits.
Yeah.
Zip them up. No, actually, it was B. They just decided that their dogs weren't dogs.
Okay.
The Arab princes who love to race dogs just said that their racing dogs, an ancient breed called Salukis, just weren't dogs. They're not. So it's okay. We still have two more chances. Many famous people in history have loved dog racing. In fact, which of these actually happened? A, General George Armstrong Custer enjoyed a dog race right before the Battle of Little Bighorn. B, James Joyce wrote Ulysses to pay off his massive debt at a Dublin dog track. Or C, Barry Bonds, as he pursued the home run record, always kissed his pet greyhound Walmsley before every at-bat.
I know a little bit about literature, and I do remember that James Joyce had a gambling problem.
Yes.
So I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B,
yeah.
That he wrote Ulysses.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, he's saying to himself, oh, man,
oh.
I'm down 40 quid. I'd better write the lasting monument of English literature.
And not a quickie way of earning my money back.
No.
No, I'm going to write one of the longest novels ever.
Can I change my answer? Might be A.
Might be A. You're going to go with A?
It might be A.
Yes, it was A. Custer loved racing or coursing his greyhounds, had a whole pack of them. In fact, he was often found napping in the middle of them, in the middle of the day. All right, if you get this last one, you win. Much like every other sport, greyhound racing has had its doping scandals.
Ooh.
Authorities suspected the use of drugs at a racetrack in London recently when what happened? A, the greyhounds all came out of the gate and chased a bag of Doritos rather than the hare. B, some of the dogs just fell over and grinned happily instead of running. Or C, one of the fixers accidentally injected himself and then ran off and tried to catch the rabbit.
Well, I've done A, so I don't think that's true. So I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B. The dogs just fell over. That's right.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Oh, wow. That cloud looks like a rabbit, man.
Bill, how did Edward Lee do on our quiz?
With 2 out of 3, he is the pride of Bug Tussle, Kentucky.
There you go. Edward Lee is an award-winning chef and restaurateur. When you're in Louisville, eat at his restaurants. Edward, thank you so much for joining us. Edward Lee! In just a minute, Bill trades his hoopah for a hookah in the Listener Limerick Challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR. A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Casper, an adorable ghost of a young boy who No, I'm corrected. It is, in fact, an online retailer for mattresses. Casper mattresses are American-made and obsessively engineered for comfort. They use two technologies, latex foam and memory foam, to give you just the right amount of sink and bounce. And they have a risk-free trial. You can try out your Casper mattress for 100 days with free delivery and returns. It's outrageous comfort at a polite price. So go to casper.com/waitwait to check out their options. And they have a special offer for you listeners of this podcast. Use that promo code WAITWAIT. That's WAITWAIT to redeem $50 towards a Casper mattress for you. Terms and conditions apply, but don't they always?
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We are playing this week with Tom Baudette, Adam Felber, and Amy Dickinson. And here again is your host at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts in Louisville, Kentucky, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, everybody. In just a minute, Bill enjoys our time in horse country by rhyming bareback. It's the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, according to new research, women who undergo a sex change and transition to becoming men, once they do that, they're no longer able to do what?
Is there just one answer to this?
My guess is no.
It's probably not the obvious ones. I'm guessing, empathize with their spouses.
Good answer.
They may be able to do that, but they won't be able to empathize with their spouses while making their kids' lunches, for example.
Multitask.
Right. This is true. Men, we all know this, have been bad multitaskers throughout history, all the way back to prehistoric times. But a new study shows that even women transitioning into becoming men, as they do it, lose that God-given ability to women to multitask. This might be disappointing to them until they realize that they can use the extra 25% in salary they now make to hire other people to multitask for them. This story for us was a little weird because, you know, you're all happy for people who are transitioning if that's what they want and that's what they need. But they have to be ready. It's not going to be all jeans and flannel shirts and complete social dominance. They'll lose.
You're also going to get stupid.
You're also going to get dumb.
But the good thing is...
You're going to get single-minded. You're going to wake up from the operation and go, you know, when I went under, I had a lot on my mind.
Yeah. Adam, the Pope is coming to Philadelphia next month, as I'm sure you know. Merchandisers are cashing in. Among the many souvenirs already on sale, for $48.95 is a Pope-themed what?
Pope on a rope.
Pope, that's a great idea.
Oh, my God. That's such a good idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a Pope-themed something.
It's a Pope-themed thing. It's kind of like you can make your own miracle every morning at breakfast.
It's a Pope-themed toaster.
Exactly right.
A toaster.
It toasts an image of the pontiff into your toast.
That's exactly right.
No kidding.
The Pope toaster, which would have been condemned in the book of Leviticus if they had the foresight to think of it. Thou shalt not toast a graven image upon your bread. But this one toasts the face of Pope Francis onto your bread.
What if you have Pop-Tarts every day? So it'd be like the Pope Pop-Tart.
It'd be Pope-Tarts.
Pope-Tarts, yeah.
Okay, so if you put a piece of toast in the toaster and it pops out and it's the face of Jesus, is that a miracle?
Oh. Mm.
Well, actually, supposed to be Pope Francis, it's probably just a malfunction.
No. Okay. It might depend on the bread brand. You know?
Yes, that's right.
Well, it works well on wafers.
Yeah, sure.
Wonder Bread is like the clean white sheet of bread.
Don't try it on a bagel, though. It's just a thing to feed the multitudes one at a time.
Yeah.
The Pope needs a bagel like he needs a hole in the head.
Ah.
Hey!
Ho-ho!
Little very specific Pope toaster joke for you all.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you would like to play our games on the air, Give us a call. Leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. You can click on the Contact Us link at our website. That's waitwait.npr.org. You can find out about attending our weekly live shows, usually at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago. And you can check out the latest episode of our sister podcast, How to Do Everything. This week, Ian and Mike tell you how much money you do not have. It's cheerful. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, I'm Andrea Dayrup, calling from Siler City, North Carolina.
Siler City, I don't know about that. Now, what do you do there?
I'm writing a novel, and I am the pathology course director for Duke University Medical School.
The pathology course director.
Good for you.
Of Duke University. Now, we happen to be here in Kentucky. And it is my understanding that there is some bad blood going back to a certain basketball game between Kentucky and Duke. Is that the case?
Go Blue Devil!
I was going to give you a chance to sort of heal that breach, to bring the two communities together.
Not so much.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show, Andrea. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly in two of the limericks, you will be a winner. Here is your first limerick.
As we roam the wide world in a jet, my Fluffy deserves a couchette. I will pay any rate to avoid the dread crate. I am buying first class for my
pet.
Yes, for your pet. Very good.
Yes, it is.
American Airlines is now offering Cuddle Class, a spacious private cabin just for pets. This is great news for traveling dogs who regularly complain as they fly about the lack of leg-humping room. There will be a variety of pet amenities, dog toys, snacks. Perhaps most impressive, though, and this is in first class on transcontinental flights, New York to L.A., it's the airline's new pet-centric in-flight entertainment console. It's just a picture of another dog's butt taped to the cabin wall. Here's your next limerick.
We tadpole girls love juicy blogs. Kermit's single, but still into hogs. We won't choose steady mates, just some really hot dates. We are seeking out good-looking...
frogs.
Frogs it is.
Yeah, frogs, very good. A new study in the journal Science says frogs make bad dating choices. So you're not alone. Actually, you probably are alone because you make bad dating choices.
How do you judge that these are the wrong choices? I mean,
maybe it's right for them.
Yeah, I mean, I picture these scientists sitting there going like, well, I thought that one was pretty hot, but he chose the wrong one. Yeah. She's got no taste in frogs.
I know. Well, Andrea still has one more limerick. Ready for it, Andrea?
I sure am.
Here it is.
Hey, bud tender, what do you got? My friends are done tying the knot. So now comes the point when we toast with a joint. And this wedding is serving up...
pot.
Yes. Pot it is.
Yes, very good. With marijuana legal in Colorado and Washington, couples are featuring pot bars at their weddings in those states, even though, of course, it's still illegal under federal law, right? And with that, somewhere in Kentucky, a county clerk's head just exploded. They can do that? Anyway, a weed wedding makes perfect sense. Think of the money you'll save. Instead of expensive catered food, you have a bud tender and then serve Cheetos and Cool Whip. A little embarrassing, though, when the pastor asked the couple to repeat the vows. It's like, repeat after me. I, Bob. I.
Oh,
who?
Man.
Oh.
Who really is Bob?
Yeah.
Bob's complicated.
Wait a minute. Are you Bob?
I am sometimes.
Because you just said you're Bob. And I'm Bob.
That means you're going to marry my fiance?
Bill, how did Andrea do in our quiz?
Well, we would expect nothing less than a perfect score from Andrea. 3-0.
Well done, Andrea.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thanks so much for playing.
Thank you, Peter.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill in the Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Tom has 4. Amy and Adam each have 2.
Okay. We have flipped a coin. Amy has elected to go second. Adam, you're up first. The clock will start when they begin your first question, fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Senator Barbara Mikulski became the final vote needed to save the blank deal.
Iran.
Right. On Thursday, Donald Trump signed the blank loyalty pledge.
Republican.
Yes. Responding to protests from students and professors, officials at the University of Texas removed the college's statue of blank.
Jeff Davis.
Yes. On Wednesday, streaming service Hulu announced they would start offering a blank-free subscription plan.
Commercial.
Right. Canadian police announced this week that they are still looking for a man who allegedly stole a pair of shoes from blank.
Brian Adams.
No. He stole a pair of shoes from a man hanging his feet out of the window of his car at a McDonald's drive-thru. Wow. This week, 6 NASA recruits began a year-long project to simulate a mission to blank.
Mars.
Yes. During his acceptance speech at the VMA Awards on Sunday, blank announced he was going to run for president
in 2020. President Kanye West.
After he woke up to find his gold medal missing, the winner of the hammer throw at last week's track and field championships discovered he had blanked.
Eaten it.
No.
In his sleep.
He had gone out to celebrate his win the night before, gotten really drunk, and paid for his taxi ride with the gold medal.
No!
It happens.
That'll happen.
No.
Pavel Fadjek won the golden hammer throw, and after a night of celebrating, he woke up with no idea where his medal had gone. As it turns out, he was short on cash on his way back to the hotel, so he used the medal to pay his cab fare. Fadjek may be down 1 gold medal, but look on the bright side. If he had won bronze, he would have had to take an Uber X. Bill, how did Adam do in our quiz?
Adam got 6. That means he has 12 more points and the lead with a total of 14.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Amy, as you chose, you are now going to go second. Please fill in the blank. On Thursday, Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis was jailed for refusing to issue blanks.
Marriage licenses.
Right. Amid a continuing corruption scandal, the president of blank resigned on Wednesday.
Guatemala.
Right. Last Saturday, residents of New Orleans gathered to commemorate the 10th anniversary of blank.
Hurricane Katrina.
Right. Bluebell Ice Cream announced that its product would be returning to stores this week, 4 months after an outbreak of blank led to a recall.
Listeria.
Right. In his U.S. Open loss to Andy Murray on Tuesday, Nick Kyrgios set a professional tennis record by blanking 4 times in 1 match.
Acing.
No, he took a nap 4 times. For the first time in his career, Cubs pitcher Jake Arrieta blanked on Sunday.
No-hitter.
Right, through a no-hitter. A teacher in New Jersey who was suspended for regular tardiness said he could not help being late because he blanks.
He was high.
No, because he just loves breakfast too much. Elementary school teacher Arnold Anderson was late for class 111 times over the last 2 years, leading the school to suspend him. However, this week an arbitrator let Anderson keep his job after he admitted that his constant tardiness was due to the fact that he is addicted to breakfast.
I wonder further, if he uses... What's going to happen to that guy when he gets a hold of the Pope toaster?
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Bill, how did Amy do in our quiz?
She got 5 more points. That gives her 10 with a total of 12.
All right.
And Adam still has the lead.
Okay. So how many, then, does Tom need to win?
5 to tie and 6 to win.
All right. Tom, you ready to do this?
I am.
That's not too much. You can do this. On Sunday, the Obama administration proposed economic sanctions on blank in retaliation for that country's cyber espionage.
China.
Right. According to the most recent Iowa poll, blank is now trailing Hillary by only 7 points.
Bernie Sanders.
Indeed. According to Tajikistan's state news agency, there's a new planet in the solar system called blank.
Was it Cuttlefish?
No, it was called Planet Tajikistan. Best known for his films A Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream, director blank passed away this week at the age of 76.
And as soon as you said that, the name of this damn guy flew right out of my head. This is terrible. This is embarrassing. I quit. I'm done with this. And it's Wes Craven.
A man in Illinois who had just interviewed for a new job immediately lost it when he followed up for the interview by blanking.
Now, this I know, and this is embarrassing. He sent naked pictures to the HR director.
That's what he did.
that didn't work? Wow.
Taking a page from the popular self-help book, Seven Habits of Highly Unemployable People. The thankfully anonymous man, you know, because you're supposed to follow up in an interview. They all say that.
Right.
Send a note. Thanks for the interview. Looking forward to hearing from you. He sent two naked selfies to the HR department manager.
But wait, did he do it on purpose?
Well, he says no. He says he meant, you know, her number was in his phone because they had talked. He meant to send them to somebody else. He said it was just all an average-sized misunderstanding. Bill, did Tom do well enough to win?
Well, Tom didn't do that bad. He got 4 right, 8 more points, 12. But that means our champion this week is Adam Felber.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kentucky.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the next thing President Obama renames just because he wants to. But first, let me tell you, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug They Call the Wind Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Gotica writes our limericks. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Special thanks to the crew at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts. B.J. Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Robin Lim this week with Miles Dernboss. Technical directions from Lorna White. Our CFO is Ann Deanna. Production coordinator is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Mr. Ian Chillog. And the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Colonel Mike Danforth. Now, panel, what will President Obama rename next? Adam Felber.
After their hugely disappointing season where all the experts thought they had every advantage, but they still couldn't get it done, Obama will rename the Washington Nationals the Washington Boehners.
Amy Dickinson.
President Obama has decided to rename Trump Tower, but he's holding his options open. It's either going to be Hillary House or Bernie Bungalow.
And Tom Baudet.
In the spirit of naming Denali, he is going to change the name of Washington, D.C. to the original name known to the Piscataway Indians of that area, Nacachicana, which means swamp where nothing happens.
And if the president does any of those things, we will ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Adam Felber, Amy Dickinson, and Tom Baudet. Thanks to everyone at Louisville Public Media and to our fantastic audience here at the Kentucky Center for the Performing Arts. Thanks to all of you at home for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week back in Chicago. This is NPR.